As we celebrate this week and celebrate love, again, love is, I won't say an invention of God, because God is love. But he's the one who invented beings outside himself who could love. And he made us. And it's fitting that the day of celebration of love should be named after a Christian saint. That it should be Saint Valentine's that sets the tone for this day. But today I want to look a little at this because our society, as always has, gets a little confused about such things. Partially because we don't know much about Saint Valentine except that he was martyred on February the 14th in the 3rd century. And that he was a man who was committed to death, to the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the day has evolved since it started. And basically on this day, we have a day, and the central symbol is the heart. And you see all the little Valentines and the hearts. But alongside that heart on this one day, there are two symbols that have gone side by side unnoticed, and they don't fit together. And one of them is Saint Valentine. Saint Valentine, a man of God who loved his Lord so much and with such commitment and with such choice that the powers of the world took him and killed him because they could not silence his truth. But the other symbol is this little teeny angel guy with the little wings and the arrow and the hearts. And his name is Cupid. And Cupid and Saint Valentine should not go together because Cupid is the Roman Latin name for the Greek god Eros. And we're talking here about a pagan god. And the symbols have totally different ideas behind them. And we have to finally choose which symbol and which type of love are we going to follow. Because to the Greeks, see, Paul, we read the passage in 1 Corinthians 13 today, and Paul exalts love, but it's a very specific kind of love. The Greek had various words for love, and one of them was agape, and we are celebrating today agape love. Now, Cupid, as I noticed, his Greek name is Eros, and Eros is the Greek god of erotic type love. And the two loves are completely different. In fact, so different that the Greeks despised or made less of agape. To them, agape was a weak, watery sort of love that they did not put much emphasis on. But Eros was a big thing. It's all about romance and it's all about celebration of physical attraction. And so as we mix these two, they don't often mix well. And we need to start looking at what we say and what we mean when we on Valentine's Day or any other day say in our society, I love you. Because it can mean various things. And so I want to look at seven of those things today. And I want us to think in our minds, what are we celebrating when we say, I love you? And the first is we need to look at what the philosophers call our worldview. Our worldview, is it Christian or is it pagan? Do we believe in a God who made us in his image to rule and reign over the earth and who made man and woman to come together and be fruitful and multiply and advance his kingdom on the world? That's something Saint Valentine would have approved of. Cupid, not so much. And so Cupid, the Greeks worshipped self and worshipped the body and worshipped the physical. And so Cupid's worldview is very different. Cupid's worldview is, I love you as long as that arrow has pierced my heart and yours. And if I can take that arrow out, well, then it's just the way it goes. The Greeks had no overarching god that said, you have a purpose. The Greek gods played with humans from Mount Olympus like toys. And sometimes Zeus would come down and ravish a mortal woman just because he liked the way she looked. And they were jealous and they were petty and they fought amongst each other. And that sounds like a lot of the, quote, love that goes on around you on Valentine's Day. What does your worldview say about love, about marriage, about commitment? And as we go along with the worldview, we need to look at origin. Where does love start? See, in the Bible, love is a choice. So God in Ephesians tells Paul to command husbands, Ephesians 5:25, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Now, if you're commanded some things, it means you can choose it. See, as we look at these whole things, the worldview, and Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians 6:14, he says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Why? Because what does light have to do with darkness? And so I choose, you know, I chose, and I still choose, to love my wife. And she chooses to love me, and sometimes I have absolutely no idea why. But she still loves me. See, now Cupid, and the Greek idea was very different. You know, Cupid shoots arrows. You know, you're walking along. You ever see Bambi? You know, the scene where all the animals fall in love, you know. There goes the skunk, you know, just going along, all of a sudden, boop, 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 Twitter paid it. That's Cupid. Cupid sits up there and says, you know, Tony looks interesting today. Boom! And all of a sudden, Tony, I fell and I struck. No! The song, I can't help falling in. Yeah, you can help it. You can help it. You choose it or you don't. Cupid sits up there with an arrow. And two people who just didn't, all of a sudden, boom, boom, and uh-oh. They fell in love. But the trouble with falling anywhere is as quick as you fall in, you can fall out. And when you fall out, you know, there's nothing in the world from the Greek, from the Cupid perspective, you can do because he doesn't shoot arrows when you want him to. He shoots them, as the Greek gods do, whenever he chooses. And man, if you're walking along and hit you with an arrow, you can fall in love with the most weird things. But that's the way the world looks. And because of that, there is no commitment. See, Valentine chose to love to the point of death. He chose to love his God, and that's why he's an appropriate symbol. He chose to love his God even when the Romans came and took him and said, deny him, and he says, I will not. And so he was martyred on Valentine's Day. There was no falling in love there. There was no Cupid's arrow. There was a commitment to the good of the beloved, no matter what. And until we Christians get that commitment vision in love back, our marriages are going to be no better than the marriages in the world. Because, you know, there are days when you just, the arrow just doesn't hit. Cupid's aim is sometimes just not so good. Maybe he's just not aiming at you. But you still choose. Husbands, love your wives. Love chooses. Love covers a multitude of sins. That's something you choose to do, 1 Peter 4:8. So your worldview, are we looking at it like a Christian or are we looking at it like a pagan? Your origin, does your love originate in a decision? You know, God chose you. We memorized last week and last month in John 15. You did not choose me. God says, I chose you. And when I married my wife, I chose her. And every day when I get up, I have to choose her. I could choose not. And some morning, I know she probably gets up and looks at me, why did I choose him? She did.
No.
The next is love's foundation. Love's foundation, and again, we're back to the same thing. Is it decision? Yes, decision or change, the origin. Foundation, knowledge or emotion? See, when the Bible talks about the intimate act, it starts in the very beginning in Genesis chapter 4, and it says, Adam, what? Knew his wife. And Christ says, this is eternal life, John 17:3, that you may know the Father and the Son whom he has sent. See, God's idea of love is based on getting to know a person, getting to know the intimately everything about a person till your oneness grows. And it uses it even for the physical act. But the world, it's all about how you feel. It feels so right. And you know, God gave us feelings, but I love the scene in the Fireproof movie where one character says to the other, you don't follow your heart. You lead your heart. See, our emotions are all over the page. And they change depending on what you've eaten and how you feel and whether you're sick or not and what time of the day it is and what time of the month it is and whether the moon is full and all these other things have to do with your emotions. And if you're going by emotions, you will always fall. And emotions are wonderful. But emotions were never meant to be the engine. We're meant to know. God made us knowing beings. And I'm not just talking intellectual knowledge. I'm talking about me. What a wonderful thing love is. I have been given this woman, a person, with a personality and thoughts and a heart and all the rest. And I get a lifetime to know her. And every day I hope I know her better. And every time I've known her, she surprised me by being more wonderful than I ever expected. But some days the emotions just aren't there. Some days, you know, I wake up with the flu and the emotions just aren't there. But you know, I get to know her even in those times because I see her care for me. But if it's based on how you make me feel, it's never going to last. Because even the best lover doesn't make you feel good all the time. Because sometimes there's just too much stuff going on to make you feel good. And so we're to know. And that's the, you know, that's one of the things that's going to make heaven, heaven. Is the fact that we have an infinite God that we get to know. And every day when we wake up, there'll be something new to know about God. Because you can never exhaust the infinite. And that's why they'll never be boredom in heaven. And with her, she's not infinite, but she's certainly enough for 70, 80, 90, 100, 110, 115 years to get up and know something new every morning. Let me ask you, what have you learned about your spouse if you're married recently? Have you learned anything new that makes you smile, that makes you rejoice? Are you looking to know better? That's what St. Valentine would want, not what Cupid cares for. And the focus is either self-centered or other-centered. See, Ephesians talks about in 5:28, he says, love your wives as you love your own bodies. It's focused on her. Says everybody, you know, today it's you hear the other thing, you know. Well, if you got to love others, you got to love yourself. No, Paul says that's a given. You already love you. You may not love what you do, but you love you. You get up in the morning, you comb yourself, you fix yourself up, you stand in the mirror, you look and say, man, this is pretty good. You love you. Or you look in the mirror and say, this is pretty bad. And you say that because you still love you and you wish it weren't so bad. Paul says, you love her or him. You love the other. You sacrifice yourself for the other. You wash the other with your words. Love is not about how you feel. Just like worship is not about how I feel. When I come in and worship, come on, oh, that was a wonderful worship experience. You know, no! If I hear that one more time, oh, it was a great, I hear that one more time, I'm going to pull out the rest of my missing hair. Worship is about God. Not about your experience. But if, now, you'll have experience. If you worship God, He'll overwhelm you. But it's about Him. Love isn't about how you feel. Love is about doing the best for the beloved. Love is others-centered. Isn't the gospel that? For God so loved the world that, oh, He felt so good. Was that Christ in Gethsemane? Sweating blood and saying, Father, if you can, take this cup from me. No. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Love was about the beloved. Love was about reaching out to the world and cleansing us from our imperfections through the blood of Christ. And taking us as we were and giving us a new life and the power to grow. Love was about God and His glory caring for us. Not because we're so lovely. Our righteousnesses were as filthy rags. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Love is not about how good we are. Love is about God choosing another. And our love needs to be the same way. See, falling in love, Cupid love is about us. I've been hit by the arrow and so I feel good. Cupid did his thing on me. I fell in love. But when he shoots another arrow and I get hit somewhere else, well, all my exes live in Texas, you know. Because Christian love has a purpose. See, when God made men and women, He gave them a future. He blessed them in Genesis 1, 26 through 28. And He said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And then when He gave the woman to the man, He said, she's a helper suitable for him. Now she's a helper because they've got something to do. It looks forward. In Malachi 2:15, He says, I made them one so that they may have godly offspring. God looks at the future. We look at the now. Dead Poets Society. Carpe diem. Seize the day. Yeah, but not just for the day. We seize today to build tomorrow. And so we're meant to have fruit. And if you get rid of the fruit, if you separate the love from the fruit, you're left with a dead tree. Paul says in Romans, and we'll talk about this more in the next verse, 1:27, in the next point. He talks about men leaving aside the natural use of the woman. Now you lose something in the English that you don't have, that you miss in the, that's in the Greek, because that word woman, used only there in the New Testament, is a word that comes from a root word which means to nurse. And what it's saying in the very root of the word is that the natural reason for the union of men and women is to have children, to be fruitful, to carry on a godly seed. This is what Scripture talks about. Not today. Today, we try as hard as we can to keep the little red rats out of the situation. And so sex has become entertainment. The intimate act which was meant to give you a family. I'll tell you what, I'm a grandpa. And I love being a grandpa. I love seeing a little new beings just full of wonder coming into this world and looking up at me and saying, Grandpa, you know, when I was, even as in my 20s, I didn't want to ever be called Grandpa, did you? Or Papa, or whatever they call you, you know? They always come up with such names, you know, Peepaw and you know, Wellito and Wellies and, you know, no, get Wellies. But, you know, they come up with these names and when you're there, your heart just goes, yeah, that's me. And it never did me. But it's wonderful. And it carries way beyond the now that everybody celebrates in movies and in song. You know, I don't need a commitment. I just want you tonight. We don't have to be lonely tonight. But tomorrow night I'll find someone else to make me unlonely. See, in the end, the opposite of fruitfulness is simply entertainment. You look good. You make me feel good. We had a good meal. Found a good place to lie down. But there's no future in it. The final choice is the result between death or life. Today, marriages are dying. Relationships are dying. People are not getting married. They're playing through it. And you'll see people 25, 26, 27 years of life and they're bored. They walk around like corpses. These zombies. They've tried it all. Except the real thing. It's interesting that the big movie this weekend was this 50 Shades of Grey. And I don't know, I've not seen the movie, I don't plan to see the movie, but I've heard enough about it, you know, it's about dominance and handcuffs and chains and whips and all this kind of stuff. And all the people are going, oh, so romantic. It's not romantic. 50 Shades of Grey is still 50 Shades of Grey. It's black and white. There's no color in it. I remember a dream my dad had years ago. He said he had this dream, and the dream was all in black and white. Everything was in black and white, and my mom came into the dream. And she said, honey, don't you think this dream would be better in color? And she flicked a switch on the wall and the dream turned into color. I like that. See, God doesn't give us 50 shades of gray. God gives us 5 million hues of wonder and color and brightness and light. And everybody is wallowing around in the gray, trying to find color where there isn't any. And St. Valentine says, as Christ said, I've come that you might have life, that you might have it abundantly. But see, we have to live it. We can't let the culture see that we're as gray as they are. We're the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Watch your marriages. Watch your love. See how you treat your spouse. See how you treat people of the opposite gender. Not as objects, but as people made in God's image. And they may do to you like they did to St. Valentine. They may hang you up and end your life because they cannot shut down your truth. But we must make a stand. Not just in legislation, but in life. Your marriage matters. And if you're single, your romance life matters. And who you date matters. And who you look at matters. And how you treat them matters. And how you think about them matters. And it's your choice. What you watch on TV, what you see in the movies, what you listen to, is it going to be Cupid talking to you or St. Valentine? You make the choice. And if you've never come to the God of St. Valentine for eternal life, He offers you that today too. He says, I have come that you might have life. He says, by faith, you can choose Christ. And if you do, you have everlasting life. He that believes in me shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, do so today. And if you have, choose to love. In everything you do, choose to love. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what you do in our lives. We thank you for giving us the ability as creatures to love, to choose the best for our beloveds. And to live by that commitment through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, the world is bought into a pagan, Greek, fate-sealed sham of a relationship. And it's exactly what the title of that movie says, 50 Shades of Grey. But Lord, you're the God who invented color. And you give us 5 million hues of wonder. You have come that we might have life and that we might have abundantly. Help us to choose life. To not be the cause of people's death and boredom. And 1.5 million babies killed a year under the guise of free choice. Of marriages falling apart and of divorces growing. Help us to choose in your power to love. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.